Good morning. The scripture reading today is from Jeremiah 6:16. I will be reading from the Revised Standard Version. It's in your Pew Bible in the Old Testament on page 669. If you have a copy of the Kids Bible in front of you, it's on page 845. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. The word of God for the people of God.
Two things. My task here is to introduce the person who is our witness for the stewardship program that we're engaged in at the moment. But I felt like we could not gather as Christ's people in worship this day without a special prayer and acknowledgement of the difficult things that have happened in the world this week, particularly the terrorist attacks in Paris, and also, I understand, an earthquake in Japan. So because we are members of the family of God, of all people God cares about, let us be in prayer at this time. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Gracious and holy God, we live in a time of terror when people going about their business are surprised with horrific acts. So we pray this day for the people of Paris, for the people of France, for all the people of the world. We pray for those who lost loved ones, for those who are hospitalized and injured. We pray for the city, which must feel a sense of burden and weight. We pray for a sense of calm when the desire is for revenge. We pray for wisdom for leaders. And we pray that your word of peace and your call to love our brothers and sisters be on our hearts, even when it is difficult and challenging. Help us indeed to trust in you, even in the face of violence and tumult. We pray for the people of Japan, for those who are impacted by an earthquake. We pray for those around the world who are in need of your care, your tender mercy, your healing. We pray for our local community, for understanding among peoples. We pray for our church, for understanding among peoples. And we ask that your Spirit would touch us so that we might follow Jesus in the way of peace and truth and love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Carly Riley is one of the co-chairpersons of our trustees, and she brings us a word now in relationship to our stewardship campaign.
Last week, Dorothy Chamness spoke eloquently about the meaning of stewardship. Today, I'm sharing a practical and personal perspective on financial stewardship. When Carl Verda, Chair of Finance, asked me to speak, I was more than a bit reluctant. In my mind, it would make more sense if I was a lifelong tither, but that is not the case. In our family, we have a primary wage earner and a self-designated giver away of funds. This has led to some interesting conversations, especially regarding the stewardship campaign. These are good conversations to have, and our compromise is to gradually increase our giving each year so we can both be cheerful givers. We make a yearly pledge recognizing the importance of an estimated total income in the church's budgetary process. A few years ago, we began using the electronic contribution system. This keeps our pledge up to date even when we're out of town. Secondarily, it eliminates the stress of last-minute scramble to find the envelopes, which were always in the same place, but it improves our average church arrival time. As a trustee for the last 2 years and having attended other committee meetings, I can assure you that your hard-earned and thoughtfully given gifts are not taken for granted. Expenditures are carefully considered, even for the seemingly mundane task of maintaining this building. In this instance, part of your gifts may go towards keeping the building warm or keeping the lights on. Clearly, the stewardship campaign, contribution decisions, and budgets are about more than keeping the lights on. For me, it is about making sure this is a welcoming place for all to come and worship God, support each other, and be refreshed by the Holy Spirit so we can fulfill our vision to be a grace-filled community aflame with God's love for the world. Thanks.
Thank you, Carla. Congregation and guests, good morning. Let me pass out a compliment right away. The very first time Elise has done her job up here, she did it wonderfully. So just a congratulations. Nice job. Nice job. As you know, most of you know, I'm Kim Fellwalk. Pastor Lynn has asked me to substitute today and deliver the message, which I'm happy to do. We're going to follow the verse, Jeremiah 6:16. So you'll see it up on the screen right now. If you want to hold the Bible, we're going to talk about it the entire time. You can pull it out. It's the Old Testament. It's page 669. But if you will right now, please, just read what's up on the screen one more time, which was the scripture, please. So in a nutshell, here's what it says. Jeremiah says that God is saying to you, stand at basically the fork in the road. Now, that's a metaphor. It's an image that Jeremiah wants you to have. And basically what he's saying is, okay, here's a bad way that you can take. And sorry, folks, to make you the bad way this morning. But you're the don't be these folks. This is the bad way over here. You know, this is the good way in the road. And you'll see on the screen it says, and ask for the ancient paths. Probably what that means is to say, what would Noah have done? What would Abraham have done? And what they would have done is what we should do then. And then if we follow in this good path, as it says right there, you'll find rest for your souls. And that very last line basically says this, that even though we know there's a bad road and a good road, people will still take the bad road every once in a while. So that's the sermon in a nutshell. For those of you who are sitting there right now saying, okay, I got it, feel free to take a nap. We'll wake you up when the collection plate comes around. But that's basically it right there. For those of you who need a little more, here we go. This is a verse through the years that has tripped me up from time to time. Because it's just common sense in a way that there's a bad road, a non-Christian way, and there's a good road and a Christian way. And where it trips me up from time to time in my life is I sit here and tell myself, well, Kim, you've never murdered anyone. You've never robbed a bank. You never sold drugs to children. So therefore, I must always take the right road, the good road. But then as we begin to break this down, we know it means a lot more than that. Let me break this down into two ways. We'll have what I'll call Category 1 people and Category 2 people. So Category 1 people are the ones that get to the fork in the road. And they'll sit here and go, okay, there might be a good way to take, but I'm going to elect to take the bad way. Let me give you a couple of examples. A recent study was done of 143,000 high school students across the United States. And they were asked a number of different questions. And one of the things that came out of that survey was this. 59% of the high school students said, I have cheated on a test within the last year. So a group sat here at the fork in the road, good way, but 59% said no. Another example. About 30 days ago, Joan and I had a desk that we wanted to sell. And so we put it on Craigslist. How many of you are familiar with Craigslist? Okay, 73% of you. Craigslist is basically, if you look at the Holland Sentinel, you got the classified ads. This is a web page that you can go to, and you can list your stuff. And I think it's a reputable page, but they do warn you. They do warn you that, you know, there are some things that have been very negative have happened. But I listed the desk on there. Fortunately, I had read enough about Craigslist and how it works. The very first person that contacted me was trying to scam me. It was one of those where they were going to give me a cashier's check, which was going to be bogus, but they were going to come and get the desk. And so I would have a bogus check, and the desk would be gone. So I was going to be scammed. So that person stood there at a crossroads and said, okay, I can go this way, but they decided to scam somebody. For those of you who watch Channel 3, a week ago, they had an entire series called Scam Week. And if you saw it, it was what people are doing around the holiday season to try to scam you. So many people right there, good way I could go, but they choose a bad way. Another example, Dayton, Ohio. I think it could have been any city in the United States, potentially, but Dayton, Ohio. There's a soccer game going on. It's the second half. And when the second half starts and it's gone on for a couple minutes, one of the coaches walks out on the field and stops the referee. And they talk for about a minute. And the referee stops and motions for the other coach to come over. So the other coach comes out there. They talk for a couple minutes. And then the referee steps back and he does this. Game over. Game over. And the reason the game was over is because the people in both stands on both sides were being verbally abusive to the players, to the referees, and to the coaches. And the group of people that was playing soccer were third graders. So you sit here and go, oh my, there's a group of parents that could have taken this way, but they take this way. One more example. Those of you who follow the business world, the company that's probably been in the press more than any other company over the last 60 days is Volkswagen. And Volkswagen, as you know, the cars come out and they give certain emissions off, and they came up with something that was called a defeat device. And basically, if you're going down the street or you're going down a highway, the car could let out whatever emissions it wanted to, but this defeat device would go in the car that anytime it was going to be tested, it would read a lower level. The CEO has now resigned from the company. You have so many people in Volkswagen pointing the finger at everybody else. Well, they knew about it. Well, they knew about it. They knew about it. But obviously, there were a lot of people at Volkswagen right now that are sitting there going, okay, we could have taken this way, but we took this way. So I'm going to call these just Category 1 people. They clearly stand at the fork in the road and go good way, but I'm going to take a bad way. Now, let me talk about Category 2 people. They're nothing like Category 1 people. But here's what happens is they get to the fork in the road and they see the bad way, but what they see over here is not singular. What I mean by that, it's not a path to take. What they say is, okay, I'm not going to take this way, but I can see this path right here maybe I could take, or maybe I could take this one, or maybe I could take this one, and all of them are good. But they get stressed out because they can't figure out which path to take. The tensions between them and other people become high. Productivity in their life goes down because they sit here and go, what am I going to do? Which path should I take? I can't make up my mind as to what I need to do. So they sit there and cannot begin to figure out which way to take. Now, I want to give you the potential solution. When you look up here on the screen again, either side, you'll see at the very end of that top line, one of the key words I want to talk about is stand. So they're standing right there at the fork in the road. Bad way, multiple good ways to go. And what they do again is say, what am I going to do? And I think I have the solution. Joan and I during the summer went to one of the plays at Hope College, the summer theater. We went and saw Smokey Joe's Cafe. Anybody see that one by chance? Okay, a few of you. I really liked it. If you didn't see it, The best way I can explain it is they didn't talk. There was no dialogue per se like this. They sang 39 songs. And there might be two cast members come out and do it, or there might be seven or eight cast members, pardon me, come out and sing. Well, the very last song was one that a lot of you know. It was made famous by Benny King. And it was the one, "Oh, darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me." And they just nailed the song. They came out at the very end. Those of you who were there, I see you smiling. I mean, they brought the house down. It was so good that for 30 days, I walked around and sang that song. I'd catch myself, "Oh, darling, darling, stand by me, oh, stand by me." And I'd sing it. After 30 days, I had to look up the history of it. I had to see how it came about. And some of you will know this in the church. I did not know it. It was based on a gospel song. And I didn't know it. And, you know, if you listen to the words, "Oh, darling, darling, stand by me," that's a good song. But if you take "darling, darling" out and you put "Jesus, Jesus" in, it goes from a cute song to a powerful song. "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, stand by me. Oh, stand by me, stand by me." And I think that's what's happening at the fork in the road, is we're never standing there alone. We always have God or always have Jesus standing beside us. If you look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, it's a very powerful verse. It states, "No man shall be able to stand by you," pardon me, "all the days of your life." You got to, let me take a sip real quick. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It states, "No man shall be able to stand by you all the days of your life. Therefore, I will not fail you." Now, let me update that verse, because it says, "No man." Man does not mean male or female. It means anybody. So let me update it by saying it this way. No grandma or grandpa. No mom or dad, no husband or wife, no child, no aunt or uncle, no best friend, no neighbor shall be able to stand by you all the days of your life. Therefore, I will. I will not fail you, is what the Lord is saying. So the first message I really want you to hear from this passage is that word "stand." That when we stand there, Jesus is standing beside us. So if we back up, instead of saying when we get to the fork in the road, "What am I going to do? Which way should I take?" we change that now to say, "Which way are we going to take?" And all of a sudden we have Jesus standing right beside us. So it no longer has to be, "Oh, how do I make a decision on which way to go?" It's, "How do we make the decision on which way to go?" Now, the second word I want you to look at in this passage is a couple lines down. It's the word "walk." Because what I see happening in life too much is somebody will sit here at that fork in the road and they'll make a decision and go, "Okay, I'm going to go this way." And it's kind of like a New Year's resolution. They'll tell you what it is on December the 31st and you go back on February the 1st and you say, "Where are you?" And they go, "I'm right here." But it's just they haven't made any action yet. So that verse to me is saying you stand there and Jesus is standing beside us to help us make that decision. But now it's time to start walking. It's time to start going. The professional baseball world lost a colorful person about 60 days ago, Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra was an excellent baseball player. He was a good coach, but he was known for things he would say. And they actually got to be called Yogiisms. And you'd hear him say something, and you'd go, "Okay, I think I understand it," but if you really break it down, you didn't understand what he was saying at all. Some of his examples would go like this. "Nickel ain't worth a dime anymore." I always like this one. "This baseball record will stand until somebody breaks it." One of my favorite. "Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded." "I have made it a habit to go to other people's funerals so they'll come to mine." "It ain't over till it's over." I mean, he could go on and on. They were called Yogiisms. Well, one of his Yogiisms applies to right now. His comment was, "When you get to a fork in the road, take it." And I think that's really saying what it is. It's okay, we stand there, but now it's time to start taking it. It's time to start walking. Now, as I read this passage up here, you read the words, "and find rest for your souls." It does not say Folks, if you take the right path, you will never have any challenges, issues, concerns, drawbacks, headaches, hurdles, stumbling blocks, or roadblocks the rest of your life. It does not say that, but it says, I'll be with you. Let me share a story with you. A while back, Joan and I were over on 8th Street, where all the shops are and restaurants are there. And we got downtown, and we were going to eat, I want to say, at 6 o'clock. We're going to meet at New Holland to have dinner. And so Joan went her way shopping, and I kind of went my way shopping. And this will be shocking to a lot of you right now, even those of you who don't know me very well. I got done shopping before Joan. I know that's hard to believe, but I did. I got done first. So I went down, and my favorite thing on 8th Street when I'm eating dinner is if whatever restaurant I'm in, if I can get a table up by the window, I love to watch the people go down the street. To me, it's like a Norman Rockwell painting to watch the people go by. It's just you see a little bit of everything happen on 8th Street. So I got a table right by the window, and right when I sat down, there was a group of people across the street. Now, I'm going to tell this story with a smile on my face, but I have the utmost respect for what I saw. I want you to hear that, utmost respect for what I saw. What I saw across the street were 12 people out for a walk. I'm guessing the average age was somewhere in the 80s. And they had on their gym shoes, they had on their tube socks up to their knees, they had on the right shorts, the right top. A couple of them had on sweatbands right here, a couple had sweatbands up here. And again, I say this with the utmost respect, they were out getting exercise, but their pace was about, you know, like this. And they were going down the street. And it just looked like a Norman Rockwell painting to be had. Well, as I watched them kind of go across the street, I noticed maybe 15 or 20 yards behind is another lady. And I'd peg her to potentially be 90 years old. And she's with this group, but she's 15 to 20 yards behind them. But she's out there at her pace going along. Well, I sit there and I didn't realize, but maybe 10 minutes later they had crossed the street and now they're coming right back in front of me. If that window wasn't there, I could have reached out and touched them. So these 12 people are coming by and I'm looking. I'm inching toward the window because I want to see where that other lady is. And here she comes. And she passes by me and I give her a thumbs up, but she didn't see me. And she goes on by. And again, picture this. I'm sitting at a table by myself. She gets all the way by me and I break out laughing. Sitting at a table by myself. On the back of her t-shirt, it said, "The turtle wins." I thought, that is so good. That is great. Folks, as we pick the right path to go down in life, there's days we're going to be a turtle. There's going to be days that a high school student really wants a part in a play and doesn't get it. And, you know, everybody else is over here, the play's over here, but that person's there. So as they walk through life, they're going to be the turtle in that particular case. Some of you in the business world, you want this certain promotion, but it doesn't come about. And somebody else gets the promotion, the job's over here, and you're here. You're the turtle that day or that week or that month. And there are times as we go down that path, we will be the turtle. But I want you to hear this loud and clear. I truly believe that that's the day that Jesus walks the closest with us. Because all you have to do is look back to every example that's in the Bible. David and Goliath. David is the turtle. That's who God stood by. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel's the turtle, but that's who God stood with. A lot of you remember the story in the Bible that Jesus is out walking with a couple of disciples, but the lady at the well. And he says to his disciples, I'll be with you, I'll catch up with you in a little bit. And he went out of his way to go to a lady at the well who was the turtle that particular day. And that's where he spent his time. We're all familiar with, you know, Zacchaeus. Not a nice guy at all from what you can read in the Bible there. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see the Lord he wanted to see. On that particular day, Zacchaeus was the turtle. But who did Jesus stop and say, come on down, we're going to dinner together? And I think if we look in the Bible time after time when we're sitting there going, oh, why me? The days that we're the turtle, that's the day that the Jesus and God stand the closest to us. And that's the day, as we see up here, that they walk the closest with us. There's a poem that many of you have heard, and it's a story too, so I'll do my version of it, if you will. There's a person that goes through life, and as he travels through life, he sees the footsteps of Jesus beside him all the way. And finally, he passes away and he goes to heaven and he's having a conversation with Jesus. He says, Jesus, I appreciate you being with me all the time. I saw your footprints right next to me. He said, I got a question for you, though. He said, in my life, when the times really, really got rough, you left me. There was only one set of footprints. And Jesus got a big smile on his face and said, oh, no, no, you don't understand. That's the days I picked you up and carried you. And that's what it means to walk. The other thing that as we're walking down the right path that I think will happen is we'll see a part of the puzzle. And the part of that jigsaw puzzle, we can't quite figure out what it is. It's not what we thought it was, but we have to understand that God sees the whole jigsaw puzzle. But we may not see that one puzzle, and we say phrases like, well, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought it was going to be. This is not what I pictured it to be. Hear this story. There's an 11-year-old boy, and he goes to a neighborhood baseball diamond. He's carrying his baseball bat and a bucket of balls. He's the only one there. There's no one in the stands, no one else in the infield, no one in the outfield, nobody. It's just him. So he walks up the home plate, and he puts his bucket of balls down, and he picks one ball up, and he gets the bat, and he's ready to toss the ball up and hit it. And before he does that, he yells out to the outfield, and again, nobody out there, and he says, I'm the greatest hitter of all time. And he steps back, and he tosses the ball up, and he swings, and he misses. And he says, strike one. Picks the ball back up, turns the outfield and says, I'm the greatest hitter of all time. He steps back, he tosses the ball up, he swings, and he misses. And he says, strike two. So now he picks the ball up, and he digs his feet into the dirt, and he's more determined. And he yells out to the outfield, I'm the greatest hitter of all time. And now it's almost like slow motion. He throws the ball up, and he swings. And he misses. And in a very dejected voice, he says, strike three. And his head goes down. He's almost ready to cry. All of a sudden, his head comes back up. His eyes are this big. His smile's this big. And he yells out, I'm the greatest pitcher of all time. I think that's what Jesus is saying as he walks along with us. We see that one piece of the puzzle, and we can't figure out. Whatever it is in life, we thought we were going to be the hitter, but Jesus is saying, you're the pitcher. You're the best. You're the best. And we need to understand that. Folks, we stand at a fork in the road to the members of the church right now. Carly talked about it. Pastor Len talked about it. We're at the stewardship time also. We're not going to take this road, but we got multiple roads that we could take in stewardship. And it's not just dollars. It's not, well, do I give $5 a week? Do I give 10? Do I give 50? I don't think it's that. It's time and talents also. It's sitting there and saying, go home, pray about it, talk about it, think about it, but next week the cards need to be in. And so just kind of think about and pray about it. What's the right road to take for you and your spouse or family, whoever it is? Because that's one of the paths that we're at right now. Let me close with two other points. If we look back up to the verse, the two words that I really wanted to stress to you today are the word stand. So we're standing right here. And as Joshua 1 verse 5 says, no grandma or grandpa, no mom or dad, no husband, no wife, no child, no aunt, no uncle, no neighbor, no best friend can stand by you all the days of your life, so I will. So when you stand at that fork in the road and not sure which way to go, remember that Jesus is standing right by us. The other key word up there is walk. Walk. We're going to sing a hymn in a few minutes. Just a closer walk with thee. And I think those days that we are the turtle, we need to remember that's when God is having the closer walk with us. One final thought. Those particular days in your life where you feel like this is just not quite the way I pictured it, I want you to remember that Jesus is standing right next to you saying, you are the greatest pitcher of all time. Amen.